I learned a lesson not too long ago about coming up here without glasses. When I do my message, I type it in some pretty big font, but if I have anything extra, it's generally not in large font. So, okay. Before I start the message, my dad is buried at Fort Logan Military Cemetery in Denver. He was a seaman in the Korean conflict on a submarine. And at this time of the year, I think about him even more than I do throughout the year because of heeding his country's call and going to where he didn't want to go because he cherished freedom. We're here today worshiping without fear of somebody coming in and shutting us down because we believe in Jesus Christ. And a lot of that freedom that we have is because of our American military throughout the years. I also would like to take a moment and thank all of you who attended the Lolo Community Center concert and supported the community center. We had fun. We learned a lot of things that having on the Lolo School Carnival night and the day before Memorial Weekend wasn't good logistical timing. So we learned some great things, but we had some fun. We had a lot of good music. We learned that Gary Hoffman is one awesome showman. He really is. And I want to thank him, and I want to thank Carl. Carl is amazing on the fiddle. And we did a song that Carl and I and Hallie would like to do for you sometime as an offering called Wayfaring Stranger. But it came out super because of his prowess on the fiddle. And Hallie Clark just did fantastic. The Cruisin' family from Cornerstone Church was there. And little Aubrey, I'll tell you, this girl is a drummer. She just enjoys it. She likes to sing too, but boy, she is a drummer. So it was just such a pleasure to work with all of these great musicians and just have a fun night. Recently, I attended and spoke at a memorial service for Dolores Hanson's daughter, Kelly. And I wanted to share something with you that her daughter wrote that just, it really impressed me. But before I start the message, I'll share this with you. Kelly would like to let you know that her work here is done. She received a call, a sort of an offer that you can't refuse, for an appointment from which she will not be returning. This assignment comes with a huge sign-on bonus and a reunion with family and friends she hasn't seen for a long time. Her new mission takes her to a wonderful place where she will be socializing, dancing, and reading, sharing her love of life with others. Music, laughter, and love are guaranteed. Now, that last line really struck a chord with me. It struck a chord in my heart because God created music. He created the notes and the scales. And to quote Martin Luther, next to the Word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. And I think about how we will be singing together in glorious harmonies to the Lord and praising God. We live in a culture where relativism is the norm. Promises are broken way too easily, and few believe in absolute truth. Rejections, defeats, failure that all of us experience can create enough negative feelings to destroy us. It's here we must be very careful. Often the most painful wounds are not the scars that are on the outside, but the ones that are inward where they are not seen. Being hidden are often the most dangerous. Setbacks in our lives, struggles in the journey, trials that fall across our way can really take the joy out of living. But our faith can be weakened because of all these trials. And if we collect enough hurts, it will stop us from wanting to press forward. Even success can make one the target of extreme criticism. We see that a lot today in the news. But don't let the hurts hurt you. I mean, look at Job, a man of Uz. I love the name of that. Ur of the Chaldeans and Uz. They had great, they didn't want to waste any letters on these towns. He was blameless. He was upright. He was one who feared God and one who turned away from evil. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters, a wonderful family, beautiful family. And Job 1:3 tells us that Job was considered the greatest of all the peoples of the East. But he lost it all in the twinkling of an eye. He lost his health, his wealth, his family. He hurt, his wife hurt, his friends hurt. He was knocked down, but he wasn't knocked out. He might have lost some of the passionate power to grow and some of his enthusiasm was diminished. But he checked the negative thinking and that of his wife and friends and stated, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him." Job 13:15. Now that amazing faith, after he had gone through so much hurt. Wow. Along the shoreline in California, when the whales are coming from Alaska and migrating down to Mexico, they come in close to the rocks and they scrape along the rocks. And they scrape off the barnacles. In our lifetime, we pick up a lot of barnacles, a lot of personal barnacles. They attach themselves to us like parasites, sapping the life out of us. And they have to be scraped off. How did Job do it? The same way we can, through faith. Faith is the only thing that can heal the hurts. Job scraped the barnacles off, and it was painful. The scars would remain, but his life was put back together. Strong belief in God was the medicine. His wife, his friends couldn't do it. Only God could do it. Job said in chapter 42, verse 2, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." I mean, I think that passage stands as one of the great rocks in Scripture. Now, if you've accumulated some barnacles along the way that are sapping your spiritual strength, dragging you down, stealing your joy, causing you pain, the passage today, if believed and received, is able to scrape a lot of those barnacles away. And I believe that it will help to restore your joy and your peace. You see, if your heart is troubled by something or other out there, there is peace, there is help for you. If you'll open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're going to start the series with John 1 through 6. 14, 1 through 6. And I'll have to share something with you. We're not supposed to have, quote, favorite scriptures. Why not? We're supposed to love the whole Bible. But in our humanness, let me tell you, John 14:6 has always been my absolute favorite scripture. In fact, I worked with a group of guys at Gates Rubber Company in Denver. And even though at that time I was not a Christian, I still believed in God. And for some reason, that passage has always stuck with me. And so my nickname when we went together as a group was The Truth. There was a boxer, and he kind of used that title. And at that time, I did a little boxing. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are fears to escape. Where am I? That direction. There are fears to escape. To understand what precipitated those words in chapter 14, 1 through 6, I think we have to go back to chapter 13 and open up the context a little bit. Jesus and his disciples have just finished observing the Passover. They've enjoyed a pleasant meal, and after which Jesus donned a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. But after that, he dropped a major bombshell, in fact, several of them. He tells them that he will be betrayed by one of their own number. He also tells them that he's going away. They learn the horrific news that one of their leaders, Peter, is going to deny him. I mean, the Savior's words must have absolutely broken their hearts, shattered their confidence, and left them devastated. And I think that's one of the reasons we have the precious words of chapter 14. We need to remember when the tough times come our way and trials and tribulations come. And by the way, all God's children are slated for trials and tribulations. John 16:33 tells us that we shall have tribulation. Job chapter 14, verse 1 and chapter 5, verse 7 remind us that trials are part and parcel of the human existence. In fact, many people are called upon to face their worst nightmares in this life. And the simple truth is this: hard times will come, and for a lot of us, they've already come several times over. However, in the midst of our difficulty, we can have peace. You see that word, let? That word is a call for you and I to be involved in the troublesome times of life. We're not called to idly sit by and let our lives be destroyed before our eyes, because we have recourse in the time of trouble. 1 Peter 5, 7 tells us, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. The best plan of escape from our fears is to run to the safe arms of Jesus. You and I are never safer than we're in the arms of Jesus. We can't let fears and worries ruin our lives. Instead, we've got to bring those cares and fears to Jesus and let him give us peace in times of fear. There is a faith to embrace. There's belief. The word believe is a life-altering word. The word believe means to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to have confidence in. But literally, the word means to exercise faith in something or someone. This verse speaks of two kinds of belief or faith. There is sustaining faith. Believe in God. That's the kind of faith that'll bring you through the valleys. That's the kind of faith that believes that God exists and that he is in absolute control of all things. When it comes to God, we can have faith in, number one, His promises. Romans 4:21 tells us Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what He promised. We can have belief in His power. Job 42:2 tells us that no purpose of God's can be thwarted. And we can have belief in His plans. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord." And I love this. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "We are told, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." I mean, if you can ever learn to trust God completely, without reservation, then you're going to have the tool you need to loosen fear's grip on your life. The tool you need to scrape off the barnacles. And as soon as you come to that place where you know God will do as He has promised, you can leave your life up to Him, up to His will. And let me tell you, at that moment, you are free. Friends, I'll tell you, you can trust the Lord. And there is saving faith. Believe also in me. It isn't enough just to believe that there is a God. I mean, after all, the devils and the demons believe there's a God, and they're not saved. James 2:19 says, "To be saved, a person must believe in this gospel message." 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4 says, "The gospel is a simple message. It's a message about the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ." But we can't stop by merely believing that these were just historical events. We've got to embrace them by faith and be saved by the grace of God. I mean, to illustrate the simplicity of the gospel, one only needs to hear a few verses from the New Testament. One of all of our favorites. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 6:47, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." And Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You see, if you embrace Jesus Christ by faith and put your future in His capable hands, you will be saved. It's a simple plan that He put in place for us. Now, there's also a future to envision. And that future includes a very precious place. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms." I mean, we need to remember that we are not home yet. While the troubles and trials we face are part of this earthly existence, they're not going to follow us where we're headed. Praise God. The burdens of life are just temporary at best. You know, I love the statement, "We are pilgrims and strangers passing through enemy land." I guarantee you it's going to be far better when we get home. After all, the best is yet to come. Philippians 1:21 says, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." If you're saved, there is a place for you in the Father's house. And one day, you will be going home. And I'll tell you, if Jesus tarries, the death rate in this world is 100%. We're all going to go somewhere. We're going to go home. And that vision includes a prepared place. If I go to prepare a place for you, wow. You see, we were talking earlier in Sunday school about some of the wonders of this world. When you look at the grandeur of the mountains, listen to a flowing stream, Listen to the birds, the wind coming through the trees. God has given us a wonderful place to live. And although because of the fall it is breaking down, it is still a very beautiful place. It was made by the hand of the Lord in just 6 days. Oh, how glorious heaven must be. He's been working on that one for 2,000 years now. It's going to be something. I don't think that our human minds can even comprehend what it's going to be like. When I think of heaven, though, I think of two very special verses. Revelation 21:4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away." And in John 14:3, part of our message this morning, it says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Now, this is just one artist's rendering. But when I saw that, it's always kind of stuck in my mind. Of all the rooms, of the gold, the beauty, the grandeur. But I don't think that picture does heaven even any kind of justice. By the way, heaven is a prepared place. And that's a place for prepared people. Are you prepared for that place? The future also includes a very powerful promise. I will come again. Every day you and I live with one of the greatest promises the world has ever known as our support. We have the Savior's promise that He will personally return to receive His people unto Himself. Wow. In fact, He wanted His people to know He really meant that. So He restated His intentions in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 20 says, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." I'd like to conclude these remarks this morning by asking you some simple questions. What are you afraid of today? You see, I think if you'll come to Him, the Lord can and will replace your fear with His perfect peace. Shalom. See, that's a peace that can only come from God. What are you trusting in to take you to heaven? Everybody believes in something. Have you really trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? If not, you can receive salvation if you'll come to Him by faith. Acknowledge that He is the Son of God who died for your sins. He paid the penalty that you could not pay. Ask Him for forgiveness and then just change your path and follow Him. That's that big word, repent. Kind of scares everybody. But that's all it means. And the last question is, are you able to get your eyes above your trials and see the gates of your real home? If the burdens of life have got you down, I invite you to come before the Lord and let Him help you cast your gaze much higher than this earth. There is help, there is hope in Him. Regardless of what you need today, you can find your answers in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Poor Thomas. He said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" But Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let me tell you right now, Jesus is the only way. The world tells us there are many ways to heaven. The world lies. Satan lies. And Satan would like that thought to be believed. But that thought is not truth. Jesus is the only way, and his words are absolute truth. He is the giver and sustainer of life, and he keeps his promises. Someday we're all going to, hopefully all of us here, are going to see him face to face. There's a song called "I Can Only Imagine," and part of that song is, "Will I Dance for You, Jesus?" I have a feeling my knees are going to buckle and I'm going to fall down and kiss his feet and wash them with my tears. I am going to be so grateful that he called me, he chose me. I didn't choose him, he chose me. But I did listen. I listened to that call. And I can look back, and I think we all can. We can look back over our lives. We regret things. We say, "Oh, I wish I could have. I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have done that." Well, this is going to sound kind of coarse, but I had a good friend one time that said, "Well, wish in one hand and spit in the other. See which one fills up first." We can wish all we want, but we don't have to wish for anything. We can know. We can absolutely know for sure where we will spend eternity. All we have to do is follow the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Praise team.
All right. As the praise team comes up, let's stand together this morning. Got to find a pocket that works my phone. There we go. And our closing song this morning, again, is another one of those hymns of the church. And I think, you know, I chose this song. I wasn't sure what Chuck was preaching on. I sent it to him. He says, "Oh, this is great. This is just fine." And you know what it is? Because we heard this message about the promises of God and the power of God to save and who Jesus is. And our response, there's only a couple hundred of us here. Our response would be, "Oh, I wish we had 1,000 of us to sing God's praise." So let's sound like 1,000 this morning, okay? And sing this wonderful hymn of the church, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing."
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great breaks the power.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are a God of grace and mercy, a God of salvation, a God who makes promises and is faithful to keep them. You are a God who has provided a way and a truth and a life, and all of that and more is boiled down into your name, into your Son Jesus Christ, is wrapped up in your Son Jesus Christ. In him we find satisfaction. In him we find hope. In him we find the treasure of our lives. And so, Lord, I pray each of us would be responding to that. If we're already believers, Lord, I pray that we would be even more excited about what we have in you and what the future holds. And for those who maybe aren't quite there yet, Lord, I pray that you'd open their hearts, you'd draw them to you, and you'd reveal to them who your Son really is, why he came, and why that is the most important thing that matters in all of this world. Now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom and priest to his God and Father, to him be glory, dominion, forever and ever.